Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We welcome you here to Foundry United Methodist Church on this bright Easter day. My name is Ginger Gaines Sorelli. I'm the senior pastor here at Foundry. On behalf of all our pastors and our staff, we welcome you warmly here today. We're so glad that you've come to share with us in this great day of celebration. Whether you're with us here in the sanctuary or joining us for worship this morning through live stream, we welcome you. And we want you to know that no matter where you've come from today, no matter where you go when you leave this place, no matter what you believe or doubt, feel or don't feel, and no matter whom you love, you're welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God, who knows you by name, who loves you, wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. We welcome you, and we'll begin our celebration today singing together. I invite you to stand as you are able and join together in singing, Christ the Lord is risen.
Today we joyfully celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We are an Easter people. Glory to Christ the King. We are an Easter people. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We may be seated, and at this time I'd like to invite all of our kids down. Come on down and join us here on the steps. We are so excited that there are so many children here at Foundry. Foundry is a place where we welcome all of our little people, all of our friends. And this morning I ask you to extend hospitality to a parent, help them find a Sunday school classroom, be nice. Just have a great time this morning. There's plenty of room. Come on in. Yeah, thank you. Offer a seat. You can even go up a little bit if you want. Good morning, Langston. We are so excited to have you all here. All right, so we're all in here. Woohoo! So I need everyone to do their hands like this. Hands like this. All right, so today is Easter, and we're talking about Jesus rising up, right? Yes, we're going to do that dance. We're going to do that dance. So, everyone, when Christ is like this, Christ has risen. Risen. Christ has risen. All right, you got it? Christ has risen. Now, when you do risen, I want you to stand up, okay? Christ has risen. It's hard to do, right? All right, down, 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 down. All right, one more time. Christ has risen. Okay, all right, so this time, because it's Easter and this is the Sunday where we're going to party, we're going to stand up and do a dance, okay? All right, so one, two, three, Christ has risen. Do a dance, do a dance. Okay, one more time, and then we will go to Sunday school. Christ has dance, do a dance. Christ has risen, do a dance, do... Okay, it's Easter. This is the Sunday of celebration, of dancing, and of gratitude. So stand up and let's do our prayer, and we will dance our way to Sunday school. God, on this morning, we are so thankful that you have risen and that we can dance and celebrate and give thanks. Thank you for joy. Thank you for love. Thank you for resurrection. And all of God's children said, Happy Easter. So let me see you dance off to Sunday school. Let me see your dance. Okay, that'll work.
Together. Amen. Friends, again, we welcome you to Foundry United Methodist Church. We are blessed by your presence. We are glad to see you. If you are a first-time guest or visitor and you feel comfortable raising your hand high, our ushers are in the aisle. They will give you a book, All Things Foundry. It tells you more about the life and ministry at this church. Please make sure that you pick one up or you can pick one up as you're exiting the sanctuary today. We do want to know who is here. If you would look to the left of your pew, there should be a black folder. Please get that, open it up, write your name, send it down the row. For our first-time guests and visitors, there's an additional pad. We would like to collect some information from you so that we may have a time to follow up with you later in the week. If you would get your worship guides out and turn towards the back, for our friends that are joining us live stream, there is a tab that you can click on and open the bulletin. I want to highlight a couple of things for you. Our walk-in mission offering will be taken up today. You will see servant leaders as you are exiting the sanctuary right on the plaza. We're asking folks to donate an offering to help us with our neighbors who are in need of photo IDs and birth certificates. You can also ask our servant leaders more about this wonderful ministry. Next Sunday, Foundry will be engaging in a pulpit and congregational exchange with our sister church, Asbury United Methodist Church. Pastor Ginger will be preaching at Asbury for their 8:30 and 10:30 services. Reverend Dr. Iantha Mills, who is the senior pastor at Asbury, will come here and preach at our 9:30 and 11 o'clock services. After the services here at Foundry, we will have a video of Foundry and Asbury, and it will be shown in the chapel, which is just right out the door and to the right. We're asking our congregation folks, as many as you can, to go and join Pastor Ginger next week at Asbury, and they will have some folks to come here, and it will be a wonderful celebration of us being together. Friends, as you go through your time this week and in your prayer life, in addition to what you will be lifting up to God, we pray that you would lift up our brothers and sisters in Kenya, the terrorist attacks on the university students. 148 Christian students were killed, and hundreds more were injured. We pray God's blessing upon our sisters and brothers in Kenya. Recuperating from surgery is Josiane Blackman. We've experienced a couple of extended deaths in our church community. Many of us know and loved Sharon Godsta. She died on Thursday, April the 2nd. A memorial service will be scheduled here in the coming month. Thomas Daniels, our chief custodian, his aunt died on April the 3rd. A service is scheduled next Friday in North Carolina. And then Gwenda Martin, who who is among us. Her mother died on April the 3rd. We pray God's blessings upon all of these, our brothers and sisters. Let us pause for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day. God, through your Son, you have already taught us that death does not have the final say. We truly are an Easter people, and we live in your resurrection power. We pray that your grace and mercy will be extended upon all of those folks who are experiencing hardships, deaths, and trials and tribulations for our sisters and brothers in the kingdom. We pray, God, for this, your church, that we might always be Foundry. Foundry who opens its doors on open hinges and invites people to come and experience your resurrection power. For this we give you thanks and say alleluia, alleluia, and alleluia. Amen. Friends, as we continue in our worship, you are invited to give as God has richly blessed you. Our choir will come and lead us in singing, and we invite the ushers to come.
Ready? Bless that heart from day one, Jesus. Please stand as you are able. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Holy and living God, pour out your Spirit now and throughout this time that we are together, that we might be filled with the fullness of your life and your love that you have shown us and given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray, loving one, that you would help me to stand in this place without fear, to offer a word for this gathered people, that the words of my mouth might be acceptable to you and to you alone, O God, for you are my strength, my rock, and my salvation. Amen. This is no way to run a resurrection. Fleeing in terror? Really? That's what we're left with? According to the oldest and most reliable texts that we have of Mark, the answer to that question is yes. Those earliest versions of the text end right where our reading ended today, with verse 8. That's why in most Bibles, you'll see a flurry of notes to try to explain the alternate or longer readings and endings of the story. There are many hypotheses as to why these alternate endings were tacked on to Mark's story, but the most obvious is that the early church couldn't stand the abrupt ending. This totally unacceptable closing scene to such an amazing drama. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The early church evidently agreed that this, in fact, is no way to run a resurrection. It's like when we're watching the big game and the power goes out just before the pivotal play, leaving us without the satisfaction of seeing the outcome. It's like having the credits roll before you feel the movie is really over. I don't know about you, but I hate that. I want resolution. Oh, let's face it, I for one want a happy ending. And in this case, I want the assurance of a Jesus sighting. I want the director's cut from the other gospel versions of the story. To hear Jesus speak Mary's name, to see Jesus making up with those who betrayed and denied him, to see Jesus break bread with his friends, to hear him tell us what to do next. I want someone to explain the whole thing, to tell the rest of the story, so that maybe we could understand why everything didn't get tidied up after the crucifixion and resurrection. Someone to explain why things are the way they are, why there is seemingly endless violence and war and terrorism, suffering, and on and on. We all, I imagine, want resolution to the drama. We all want to see the final play of the game. We all want answers to the questions raised by the story, raised by our own lives. And yet, with Mark, we don't get what we want. We get unfinished business. The story doesn't get tied up at the end with swelling violins and thinly fabricated happily ever afters. The reality is that we are left with the devastating ambiguity of an empty tomb, with the empty space between us and Jesus, who we are told with no scientific explanation, has been raised and is out ahead of us, calling us to follow. Now, these days, if you needed to get to, say, Galilee to meet up with your friend Jesus who had texted you to meet him there, you'd likely use Google Maps. And if you want to connect with somebody, you would just put their name into Facebook. If you want to watch a story with a happy ending, if you want to hear a certain song, if you want help managing your calendar or your stress levels or your caloric intake, well, guess what? There's an app for that. Today, it would be nice to have an app that would tell us what to do with the empty tomb, with the empty space between us and Jesus, who is out ahead of us. But what if the empty space is the app? Apps allow us to do things, to hear things, to find things. What do the empty spaces in this Easter story allow us to do or hear or find? Well, the proclamation Christians make today is that the empty tomb allows us to hope. Because an empty tomb that once was had held the dead body of Jesus, that one whom the domination system thought they had killed, an empty tomb means that death does not win. It means that despair does not win, that tragedy and injustice do not win. An empty tomb means cruelty and cancer and racism and sexism and homophobia do not win. An empty tomb means that our brokenness and ignorance and greed do not win. An empty tomb means that war and anxiety and guilt do not win. When the emptiness of that tomb gives us reason to hope that God's love and justice wins, and that life, not death, is our destination, both in this world and in the world to come. And to follow Jesus into the places that we have been told to go, to wander into the empty space between where we are and where Christ is, it seems to me, a confirmation that the story isn't over. The credits haven't yet rolled. The game is still on. And we are in the middle of it, you and I. The empty space stretches out before us and is meant to be filled with something that resembles true life. The Easter app, the life app, allows us to hope and to be set free from fear and from anything that would keep you from stepping out into that space. That uncertainty and risk that is true living, that is living like Jesus. And that means living a life that's not free from struggle and pain, but a life infused with love and meaning, a life of beauty and power, even in the midst of suffering. I think of writer Anne Lamott's friend who, in the face of terminal cancer, was determined to soak up and savor every moment of his life. And because of that, he says he no longer feels that he has a life-threatening disease. He now says he's leading a disease-threatening life. He says, I'm going to live until I die. The poets all echo the call. Emily Dickinson says, love is the fellow of the resurrection, scooping up the dust and chanting, live. poet Mary Oliver has famously asked the question, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And Rainer Maria Rilke offers this, one of my favorite poems about stepping out of safety and into the wondrous and terrible adventure that is life. Dove that ventured outside, flying far from the dovecote, housed and protected again, one with the day, the night, knows what serenity is. For she has felt her wings pass through all distance and fear in the course of her wanderings. The doves that remained at home, never exposed to loss, innocent and secure, cannot know tenderness. Only the one back heart can ever be satisfied, free through all it has given up to rejoice in its mastery. Being arches itself over the vast abyss. Ah, the ball that we dared, that we hurled into infinite space, doesn't it fill our hands differently with its return, heavier by the weight of where it's been? The empty spaces in our Easter story call us to pass through all distance and fear so that we might truly live, that we might dare to throw ourselves into infinite space and return heavier, more full upon our return. The promise is that we will meet Jesus along the way and be filled with ever more love and strength and grace. But it can be a fearful thing to step out of what feels safe, to venture out of the dovecote or the home or the security, whatever that is for you. It can be a fearful thing to set aside our cynicism and sophistication and to enter into wonder and mystery. It can be a fearful thing to let go of our need to control and prove everything and instead to surrender to beauty and grace. It can be a fearful thing to hope. After all, the less we hope for, the less we have to lose, right? Anybody ever feel that way? The less we hope for, the less we have to lose. Friends, that is just wrong. That is death talking. And I'm not talking about gentle death, that friend of the Amas and Abbas of the desert, that death who is welcomed as a passageway into God. No, that's not the death that I'm talking about. The death who tempts us to fear and to lose hope, and who tells us that we shouldn't hope because it's a folly, that death has nothing to do with God. And that death tries to convince us of all sorts of ridiculous things. That death tries to convince us that we should just be blasé about Easter. That we should allow cynicism to rob us of any excitement, any wonder, any joy. Death wants you to take cover in the safety of rules and comfort and familiarity and never venture out. Death, it seems to me, has been working overtime to convince people that it is categorically impossible to be socially progressive and to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. talking about? Death would say, too, that you can't call yourself a Christian or a person of faith if you ever experience doubt. Ridiculous. Death wants you to believe that your life will never be different than it is today. Death wants you to believe that the world is doomed, that the world is nothing more than terrorist acts on innocent students. Death wants you to believe that bad news is all there is. Death is an agent of evil, of destruction, of soul-killing, hope-killing, trust-mangling, mind-numbing, responsibility-quashing, wonder-stifling ruin. Death doesn't want you to live. Death doesn't want you to thrive. Death doesn't want you to survive. And death has a way of trying to keep showing up like an abusive partner who just won't let go. Just think about how negativity and fear and cynicism and control and bitterness and hatred and selfishness and other deathly things can be so hard to shake. But on this day of days, we are empowered to kick death to the curb. Call on the power of the risen Christ and tell death to go back to hell where it belongs. As I was writing these words, a song came on the radio that I had never thought of as an Easter song. But it is, after all, the classic kicked to the curb anthem. And I found myself singing these words to death. You might know them. At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. I've been spending oh so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, but I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And now you're back. From outer space, you come in here with that sad look upon your face. I should have, you know these words. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key if I'd known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. But what now? You know it. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Don't stay here. Turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Aren't you the one who tried to hurt me? Who tried to tell me goodbye was all there was? Do you think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down and die? Oh no, not I. I will survive. As long as I know how to love, love, love. You know I'll stay alive. I got all my life to live and all my love to give. I'll survive. I will survive. What's next? Hey, hey. Death doesn't want you to live. Death doesn't want you to hope. Death doesn't want you to survive. But God knows how to run a resurrection after all. And as long as you know how to love, you will stay alive. You have got all your wild and precious life to live. You have all your love to give. Oh, you'll do more than survive. This story is not over. The game is still on. And the risen Christ brings hope and life and strength and resurrection power to you and me, and the credits won't roll until all God's beloved world is healed and reconciled and restored and at peace. And in the meantime, let's sing and let's dance. and let's live. Kick death to the curb in this world and ride on into the next. Hallelujah. Our Lord invites to this table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with God and with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, even while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. I invite you to stand on your feet or in your hearts and join with me in the great Thanksgiving prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
You may be seated.
You are holy, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Jesus Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, again gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this as often as you drink it, in memory of me."
On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in response to these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. O God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup, we might know the presence of the risen Christ and be renewed as Christ's body for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. In your Spirit, make us one with Jesus, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen.
And now with the confidence of children of God, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia, alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends at Foundry, we have an open table. You are invited to come wherever you are on your spiritual journey. We invite you to come at the direction of the ushers. There'll be four stations across the center. There'll be two stations in the back. We invite our servers to come, and you will go to your stations. Our method of serving is intinction. You will come with your hands outstretched. The server will give you the bread. You will take and gently dip it into the chalice, and then you will consume it. After which you may make your way to the kneeling rails, or you may go back to your seat for a time of quiet contemplation there. If you desire gluten-free, please come and see me on this side of the aisle. Just fall in line, and we will serve you gluten-free elements here. If in your faith tradition, friends, so everybody is welcomed at Foundry. If in your faith tradition you don't take communion, you're invited to come with your hands crossed, go to a pastor, and we will offer a blessing. On this Resurrection Sunday, let us celebrate the risen Christ in this holy, holy meal together. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
us pray. Gracious and loving, living God, we give you thanks for feeding us at this table with the body and the blood of your beloved one, our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we rise from this table filled to move into the space of our life with courage, with hope, and with love.
Come on.
mic on right here. There we go. Come on.
And liberty.
Yes. Oh, hold on, friends. Our 11 o'clock folks, our 11 o'clock folks, hold the door right there. Our 11 o'clock folks, hang tight, please. Hang tight. Our 11 o'clock folks, hold on, please. Hold on, 11 o'clock folks. Thank you. Just hang tight. Hang tight. All right.
Oh, happy day.
Sorry. We're going to get our 9:30 folks. All right. They're making their way. God bless you. The Kid Wells. There we go. Kid Wells. You're good.
Come on,
everything's
and happy.
Going great.
Sing
hang on,
happy.
11 o'clock, folks.
Come
hang on,
be happy.
Come 11 on, be o'clock, happy. Folks. I'm going to ask you to hold on just for a moment.
Happy
just
day.
For a moment. Yeah, girl, keep it singing.
Come on, be
all
happy,
right.
Happy day.
Oh, all right, hang on, hang on, hang on.
Come all right. When Jesus walks.
Folks, you can come right on in. Happy day. All right.